discuss the mind and brain and all its domains. My name is Khalid Mahmood. Today's topic is truth. Who controls the truth? My guest this week is a man who has traveled to more than 90 countries. He's a thinker, a writer, and a publicist, a man of many talents. His name is Thomas Pichari. He writes on World Affairs Monthly. Welcome, Tom.
Thanks for the flattering words. It's always kind to hear those comments. No, this is really a good topic, truth. So go for it.
Okay, as we have seen in the media, especially the mainstream media, whenever there's a big event, the truth is always probably the last thing we get to hear.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And a lot of confusion kickstarts, a lot of conspiracy theories appear, and the mainstream media doesn't really help clear the conspiracy theories or any misunderstandings. It actually, the social media is also helping it. But the problem is, who is controlling the truth? Who is controlling the narrative? Who is managing this whole thing? Because people seem to be confused, and there's always seem to be two camps, which are equally against each other, totally opposite of each other.
Yeah.
Who is actually doing this whole thing, do you think?
Well, can I just introduce this? I mean, I'm going to answer your question, but I'm telling a little story, and I think it will help answer the question. So, it's kind of a fun story. So, go back in history. I'm 1958, born 1958. And born in Denver, Colorado, and then went to Mountain View, California, which is not far from Apple Computer. Then we moved to Saratoga, California, which is quite close to Apple Computer. And so I went to high school in that area there, Saratoga High School. I'll never forget, being a teenager and watching, like I said last time to you, watching Vietnam, watching Watergate, watching all this stuff on TV, and the information was flowing. Right. We were getting information. And I get to high school, and I'm talking to the teachers and I'm listening to the garbage, but mostly garbage. And I began to immediately realize that no one is really come to terms with the truth. Hardly anyone. And it's just all a bunch of nonsense and garbage. And, in science and in business, I mean, it's just nonstop deception and deceit. So fast forward to today, I think you have this huge enterprise called the United States of America. And there's really no evidence whatsoever that there's any truth. It's a 24/7 propaganda machine. And you ask, who's in control? Well, I'm going to read you something. It's quite amazing. This was scrolling down on my Twitter account here. I'm sorry, you're going to have to wait for me to do this. Okay, so Adolf Joseph Lanz, also known as Jörg Lanz, he's an Austrian. He called himself Lanz von Liebenfeld. He was born in 1974 and died in 1954. He was a Cistercian monk, but he was very, very much respected by the Germans and the Nazi Party. And he wrote this in Vienna. I'm going to read it to you 100 years ago. It's absolutely astounding. So you're asking the question, who? He writes about Semites. Basically, he's talking about Semites here. Physically and psychologically closest to the Aryan, but is too weak for manual labor and of low intelligence, purely reproductive and not mentally productive. As a result, this is what he says here. They are a race of gawky lawyers, literati, and Talmudists, traders and merchants, orators, actors, and superactive revolutionaries and agitators. They are nervous and impatient, and for every people, a ferment of unrest. They are the audacious gamester, stockbrokers,
speculators, born swindlers and fraudsters. Their only invention is the so-called democracy and socialism, a worldview that makes the robbery and rape of the blonde, heroic Aryan race into a political, economic, and ethical system. And yes, they can almost be called the race of slave and girl traders. Now, of course, these are Ashkenazi Jews he's talking about. They came to the United States starting about 1880, and they stopped, in 1920 or so, maybe a bit earlier, a couple of million, maybe up to 3 million. Now they run the United States. They totally control the United States. They completely control all media outlets, even the more obscure ones, left wing, right wing. They even dominate the blog sphere. And you go to social media. They own the social media. They control everything. So any information you're getting is from these people, and it is just a bunch of garbage. It's whatever they think. Okay, now let me give you an example of how this is really a real life recent example. All right. For example, you've heard of peak oil theory, right? Everybody in the audience probably knows what peak oil theory is.
Yep.
Now, it's based on the thesis that a well will rise in production, then peak, and then decline. That's exactly what the behavior proves to be. It's just
like always, a bell curve.
Yeah, a bell curve, exactly. Thanks for saying this. Now, I found this on the net a couple of days ago. This is from the New York Times, of course, Ashkenazi Jew journalist Robert Kleinberg. You can look it up on the net, October 7th, 2019. The article is ridiculous, typical Ashkenazi, but this single paragraph states the reality succinctly. And now, by the way, the article is about carbon capture. We got a decarbonized economy, all these kind of garbage. They don't talk about CO2 anymore, carbon dioxide. It's all carbon. I don't know. They're crazy, unbelievably. Okay, so Ashkenazi are worried about, okay, fine. If this is the article, paragraph I want to read. The world consumes 100 million barrels of oil a day. I'm going to read it slowly so everybody can get it. Because of resource depletion, each year the production from existing fields declines by about 6 million barrels a day. World oil consumption grows by about 1 million barrels a day. Therefore, on present trends, 7 million barrels a day of new production will be required every year. That article is in the New York Times. That paragraph is hidden in this garbage about global warming and carbon capture and all that crap. But there it is. And this is the most important statement you could probably make about the 21st century. Everybody ought to be figuring out what the hell to do about this problem, because it's going to destroy your life for sure. This is going to mean the destruction of our way of life, meaning high consumption, high, wealth, financial wealth, debt, everything. It's going to totally mean the total destruction of the world. And yet you don't read about it ever once in the media. Not once. So here we go. Okay, you got me upset, but this is incredible, Khaled. So what's your reaction?
Basically, I think what you're trying to indicate is that this whole media game is not about information, but more about deception.
Yes, 100% deception. That's all it is. There's no information. If there is information, it's like an accident. And they put it in there, and they forgot about it. They didn't realize. No, there's nothing in there. I mean, I'm 63 now. It really hasn't changed. Now, the Ashkenazi Jews started taking over in the mid-80s. My friend Pete McCloskey said it was earlier than that. All right, they had influence, earlier, and they destroyed his career in Congress. But by the way, it was John Esposito at Georgetown University, who's an Islamic scholar. You can look him up, Esposito, in the Italian language, Esposito. And he told my wife and I'd written a monograph or an academic paper about the Islamic world, and I had shared it with him and some other scholars in Washington. And so I was invited to his office to have a talk with him. And the first thing he says to me is, Tom, you got to realize the Jews totally control this town. You can't write something like this. You cannot work for the Arabs. This is what he said. All right. 1998, spring of 1998. This is what he said. And now he was working. He got money from the, Alawid, Prince Alawid, whatever, Saudi, whatever. You know, you can look him up. He's a pretty distinguished guy. Probably works for the CIA or whatever. But, he was a decent guy. And I replied and I said, John, I am writing what I see is the truth. I don't work for anybody. I don't pimp myself out to rich guys like you. I don't care about driving a new car. You know, this is my perspective, my truth. And of course, it probably is the truth because I'm pretty, I'm joking. I'm pretty smart. But, this is what I think is the truth. And if you don't like it, well, that's your problem. And I walked out of his office. True story. No embellishment.
How come the internet has not really changed the status quo?
Yeah.
I mean, still.
Excellent question. Well, I think I can. Excellent question. It's kind of a challenging one, but here I'm going to try to answer it. When the little toddlers, 2 or 3 year olds are in the house or in their daycare center, it's pretty obvious if you observe them that they are in a world of truth. There's no deception. Their brains are pretty rudimentary. The connections are pretty sparse. They're wonderful little things, but they tell the truth. They'll tell you the truth. And the look on their face is truth. All right. Now, as soon as they get to school, they're indoctrinated, bombarded. They're just stuck sitting there listening to some narrative or whatever you want to call it, some garbage, somebody's propaganda, whatever it may be. I mean, whatever. And they're listening to that, and they don't have a choice. They are stuck. So they're sitting there for years after year listening to this garbage, and they have no chance to escape. So they basically turn into, I guess you would have to say, the kind of the colorful expression is zombies. They're just zombies. They have no idea what to think, what to do. They just completely capitulate to the reality. They got to get a job. They better obey. They better be doing what people tell them to do and get a job and shut up. So therefore, when they're adults, a few brave ones might say on the internet, well, there's the internet. I'm going to start, giving my opinions. Well, yeah, what's going to happen? You're going to lose your job.
Sure.
You're not going to be able to pay the bills. Because the Ashkenazi Jews are just not going to tolerate any kind of discussion about the so-called Holocaust or whatever it might be. If you criticize them, they're going to slam you on YouTube. They're going to just shut you down.
That's what happened to me today.
Oh, really?
Today I tried to post an article on Facebook. And straight away I got the message that there is an alternative viewpoint by the fact checkers, whatever they call it. Okay.
Yeah.
And your article contradicts them, their view. And in future, it may kind of lessen your chances of posting your articles or supporting posting anything on Facebook if you can carry on with this article.
Yeah. And of course, Zuckerberg owns Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of same thing. They don't allow alternative opinion. They don't allow anything. I mean, there's complete control.
Not at all. No.
So whatever they say, that is the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? I go back I could reinforce. Amazing that we are facing a dire situation as far as energy production is concerned, principally crude oil. And you're not going to read about it anywhere. Now, there was, before tide oil, discovered how to get tide oil in the United States, so around, 2008, 2009, you have this peak of peak oil discussion on the net. Outsiders who were talking about peak oil, but they're all gone now. Nobody's talking about that because, I don't know, they're just all gone. And you can find a couple of guys, you can find a couple, but it's all gone. So I think that the problem is basically the brain as it develops in a child. Mm-hmm. I'm going to argue that, we can talk about this in another interview because it's kind of complicated, but the brain builds out. It's like, think of it as software build out. That's a good metaphor, maybe. And you cannot get a real good build out in certain conditions. And so for example, I think I read, I happen to go to a Jesuit university, and I read I think this is probably true. You can look it up on the internet, make sure it's correct. But the Jesuits had a expression, some sort of saying that, give me a child at age 5 and I will own him for life. So that's it. You basically, turn the child into a information poor, ignorant person, individual that is easily manipulated and deceived.
Yeah, there's an American guy called John Taylor Gatto. You probably heard of him.
Yeah, say the name again.
John Taylor Gatto, G-A-T-T-O.
Oh yeah, sure. School. He was a teacher, right?
Teacher, yes. And he wrote a book called Weapons of Mass Instruction.
Yes.
Yeah, and another book, which I forget the name of at the moment. What he says is very interesting in that book. He discusses that, for example, you're in the class and you're in having a lesson and you're really enjoying it. I mean, that's probably your favorite topic. And you're enjoying it and you're learning something. But all of a sudden, the bell rings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your learning must stop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because the bell means you drop everything, you drop your learning. Your learning is not important. Mm-hmm. You are not important. What is important is to follow the system.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we are indoctrinated with in schools.
Mm-hmm.
To follow the system.
That's right. Obey.
Obey. Right, mm-hmm. And this is exactly what happened with last year, and the majority of the people just obeyed.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's shocking. They
just simply conformed to the whatever the majority kind of were doing. They just followed like sheep and followed each other,
mm-hmm.
And same thing with the. And the vaccines, when the vaccines came, and although there was contradictory information coming that vaccines may not be the best option, okay, or may not be a very good thing to have, but see, what is strange about this vaccines is that they used fear. They used very less control. They did not put that many restrictions as much as they used information or misinformation to try to create fear and try to get people to get vaccinated. Mm. Even people who were not likely to travel anytime soon, they went, and because they feared that there would be repercussions or there would be restrictions imposed. And that is what's going on, is that. And I think it is all to do with indoctrination. Not education. People go to school to be indoctrinated. People send their children to be indoctrinated.
Yeah,
and that is the main cause. It's kind of the whole school system is there to tell you to obey the system.
Mm.
It's the system is the most powerful thing. The system is the most important thing. And for me to kind of know, to see it with my eyes and everything, okay, how people were totally unable to think for themselves.
Yeah.
Or able to kind of, even if they could think, then they couldn't decide for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you know, the critical thinking, the or the lack of it,
mm-hmm.
is also quite shocking mm-hmm. in the world. That
yeah.
the, most people just simply don't. First thing is, they don't even want to know the truth. They rather just follow the system, because that is an easy option for them.
Well, you're going to be punished if you don't obey.
Exactly. But there is. That is
yeah.
what is the whole media game, the whole the truth game, and everything is all about creating fear now. And
yeah.
I'm kind of beginning to see so many people with anxiety, with stress, with depression, with everything.
Yeah.
Okay, those kind of the mental health of the people has gone through the roof,
yeah.
and yet people don't get it. People don't understand, what is it, what's causing it.
Well, I could introduce this theory that I developed 30 years ago, and I might as well do it because you mentioned this guy, Gatto.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't, and you and I talked about this a lot, say 10, 15 years ago, I tried to explain it to you, and I think you understood. That's why you've done Restoring the Mind, which is utterly brilliant. So, the brain needs to build out, as I said, go back to this story about the brain. You're a toddler, you're sleeping 16, 17 hours a day, right? And as you age and get older, you're going to sleep a little bit less. So, but even a teenager is going to sleep maybe 15 hours a day. It's a lot, can be a lot, if you're allowed to sleep that much. So I began to realize when I was a young man that maybe that sleep time, and we don't really know what sleep does. I came up with as to what sleep. So sleep is the downtime, so to speak, for building out the brain, the power of the brain, the cognitive skills or aptitudes. And then I said, well, there's a lot of wake time. And what do mammals do? Juvenile mammals do. What do? And I was taking a course in developmental psychology for 1 year at Santa Clara University. And I remember asking Professor Eleanor Williamson, what's going on with these mammals, juvenile mammals? She had no answer. Again, just ignorant woman. I mean, she's very nice and, PhD in developmental psychology and very nice woman, but she hadn't a clue. Okay. So then I said, well, Tom, if these mammals are playing, juvenile mammals are playing, what is the play for? And everybody was telling me, they just want to have a good time. They're little toddlers. They're having fun. They're rolling around. And I said, that's nonsense. So I began to realize that play is augmenting. Okay, you call it the sleep function. Play is the play function in a juvenile mammal is augmenting the sleep function. So you're awake, you're able to function, you're with your mother and you can walk around and you're not comatose, right? Which would be a drag for everybody if you were comatose 22 hours of 24 hours. So you're actually doing what the brain does, kind of like, not very much, of course, not as much as during sleep, but you're augmenting the sleep function. That's what that was my theory. I came up with that about 30 years ago. And I slowly began to realize that what this basically means is that the brain does not want to be cognitive when it's developing. There's very little cognition. It's just kind of, you can force it on the brain. You can get everything, out of the brain if you want to, if you force it. But you're not going to get real cognition. You can't reason with children. You probably know that. Very few people accept that you can reason with children. They're like little animals. So then I said, well, Tom, if that's the case, school is destructive to the brain's development.
Interesting.
There's the answer to why everybody's so screwed up and mentally screwed up and got mental health, you know, all these, everybody's so goddamn crazy and irrational. It's because their brains are just, they're not fully developed.
True.
It's amazing. And so I played experimental psychologist with my children. And of course, they didn't go to school, not one day of instruction. Now, the authorities didn't go after me, probably because they're, you know, pretty scared of me, but no one bothered me. They grew up not one day of school or instruction. They didn't set foot in a school. The oldest one, Pachauritechnologies.com, Christoph Pachauri, I think you would agree that he's a rather impressive 21-year-old inventor, scientist, and engineer. Yeah, it's quite amazing, right? And then the younger one is 18, Sebastian. He's considered an astoundingly high aptitude helicopter pilot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so if you come into our house and want to talk to us, you're going to be talking to these gentlemen, and you're going to ask yourself, what the hell? Are they 45 years old? You know, not one day of school. Because they were actually able to build out their brain the way it should be built out, and they're actually optimized. The system is optimized, and they're prospering. So there you have it.
Very interesting.
So it's the end of the world, because we are now facing, really, and I, you know, it's terrible to say, and I don't want to be, you know, mean or anything, but there's just hundreds of millions of imbeciles walking around every day, being preyed on by these more cunning and, you know, fraudsters, Ashkenazi Jews, and they don't have a clue.
Okay, we are almost coming to the end of the interview.
Yeah.
Okay. My last question: do you see a way out of this bottleneck control on truth that the mainstream or these big companies that have on there?
Yeah.
Do you see a way out?
No, because the system is so tightly run, you know, and you're punished. Now, there is evidence that people are getting irritated and, you know, there's some resistance. But it's pretty weak. So I'd say that more than likely, this world we have right now, where school, all these institutions, school included, you know, they're just going to be destroyed by natural forces. And then, of course, we start a new world in about 25 years or whatever the time, pick your time. So I'm of the opinion that the world's going to be destroyed, totally destroyed. Either doomsayers are going to love me for saying this. But in 25 years, I'll be shocked, utterly horrified, shocked. Maybe I'm alive or not, I don't know, that we're still going, doing what we're doing right now. I think it'll be totally destroyed.
You're more optimistic than those in the World Economic Forum.
Nobody will be going to school. Nobody will be going to banks. Nobody will be driving around their automobile, you know, combustion engine. I mean, they'll be lucky if they can find insects to eat. Yeah. And maybe nuclear weapons might be the choice of some people around the world. You know, they're going to say, well, you know, let's get rid of it's a chaotic situation. Let's get rid of our enemies, and we can get a hold of nuclear weapons. And so, yeah. Okay. All right. My son Sebastian's saying goodbye. He's going to go fly a helicopter. So, you better go. It's the end of the interview. But that is my opinion. I don't know how long we have to wait for this. But, you know, things are getting pretty dicey. It's just a matter of time. I mean, where are they going to find the oil production? They're not going to.
True.
How are you going to stop the Taliban? You can't stop the Taliban.
No, they are becoming more confident by the day.
Yeah. So you just have hundreds. You can't stop the Chinese. You know, these Ashkenazi Jews think they rule the world, the World Economic Forum, they rule the world. Yeah, yeah. They right now they you know they dominate, but you know it's pretty obvious that the Chinese, you know, the Arabs, the Taliban, you know, they're presenting a big challenge. And this challenge is for the Jews is going to be, in my opinion, is going to be pretty much, you know, impossible to overcome. Impossible.
Where would you recommend people go in search of truth?
God, you know, where they go?
Yeah, where would you, the readers on the internet, where would you recommend that the listeners of this interview, where would you recommend that they go for? In search of truth.
Well, that's a really tough question. I think you have, really have to ask my son Christoph. Now, I was 40 years old when the internet came. So now I have pretty much capitulated to the opinion that I can't find anything of value on the internet. But my son Christoph, he would disagree with that. He says he finds a lot of stuff. Problem is, and he does. Problem is, it takes a lot of time, and he's got a lot of skill, and you know, so. I think most people would find it pretty daunting to replicate what he's doing. But I think you can find it, whatever, you can find the facts and information. But again, you have to be able to process that information and be able to analyze it, understand, evaluate it, and decide what is credible and what is not. Good luck with that.
So that's the end function of the brain then.
Yeah.
Deception and the detection of deception.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of information out there. Say, my final statement would be, let's say we're, you know, 100,000 years ago, you and I are in a tribe, small tribe, and we're trekking across to Western Europe in the Alps or something like that, or wherever in the world. And we get to this point where, you know, it's kind of, we're on this important trek and, you know, it's do or die, right? And suddenly there's some information on the trail where, you know, we can go to the left, we can go to the right, and we got to decide which way to go, right? So true. It's critical to understand what the hell you're doing. Otherwise, you're going to die.
True. Okay, we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
And probably we'll do another interview. We got your time on different topics.
Good to talk to you, Greg.
Okay, bye.
Wonderful guy. Okay, bye-bye.